morning, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. Welcome to the members of parliament and the secretary and our delegation. Maybe just to indicate again our program. Last week the committee focused on SAPS and IPED. This week we focused on the secretariat. And then on Friday the committee will meet again to finalize the reports for the EPC, and the EPC will take place in 2 weeks' time on a Monday. Maybe before we start, we will just give everybody an opportunity to introduce themselves. There's a lot of new members on the Fifth Parliament Committee, and also we'll give an opportunity to the Secretariat and also to civil society to introduce themselves so that we know who's in the room. My name is François Bierkman, and I'm the chairperson.
I'm Jerome Marte, a member of this committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angie Muliwa. I'm also a member of this committee. Thank
you. My name is Pindi Lemola, a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mabija, a member of this committee.
I am Diane Kola Barnard, also a member.
Good morning, Zakeli Mbele, committee member.
Mike Shishonga, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everyone. Christian Mukon, a parliamentary liaison officer.
We'll maybe ask the secretariat first to introduce a delegation, and then we'll ask the rest of civil society also to introduce.
Thanks. Sorry. Thanks, Jay. just before introducing the delegation, I have two acting program heads. Mr. Zimo and Ms. Kawuti are both in hospital. I think they arranged operations for after the election period. nothing serious, but they both have had to undergo operations, so they are going to be represented by the two acting heads of the subunit. I will ask each member to introduce, each official to introduce itself. I'm Jenny Irish Kaboshiani, the current Secretary of Police. Okay.
Morning, I'm Zulfiq Omar, I'm the head of the Policy and Research Unit.
Hello, good morning, I'm Abbas Masson, and I'm the Director for Strategic Planning.
Good morning, I'm Dawn Kapp, I'm the head of Legislation.
I'm Kibiti Lukoto, the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. With Shidimi, Chief Director of Corporate Services.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Philip Mashang. I'm 81 on behalf of Domezanism on Partnerships.
My name is Philip Mashang.
Good morning. My name is Alfred Mudao, Head of Internal Audit and Risk Management.
Good morning, my name is Florence Matoma, Acting Oversight Monitor and Evaluation.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, my name is Sam Mawote, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Secretariat.
Good morning, my name is Eva Lerner, I'm a monitor with TMG.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lorenzo Whitefield. I'm with the African Police Intervention Oversight Forum and the Center for Justice and Transformation.
Good morning, my name is
Kurt
Lerner.
I'm going to be switching to an African Good morning, everyone. My name is Institute for Security Studies. I'm a research intern in the Governance and Foreign Justice Division.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pung Vila, from the Kuna Wars.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Elsie Kinnis. I'm the Content Advisor for the Committee.
Good morning. I'm Nicolette. I'm one of the researchers for the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Temarin Baganyana. I'm one of the representatives for the Committee.
Good morning. My name is John Mashabela, Committee.
Charlotte Lobby, ITI, DPNO.
Good morning, my name is Raina, I'm the executive of the
Thank you very much for the introductions. Now we know who's who. Maybe just to indicate the process, how we do it, we will give an opportunity for the secretary to introduce, and then we will take questions, and then each and every program manager will give an opportunity to give their presentation, and then we'll give opportunity for questions, and at the end, of course, there's also questions. Maybe just to indicate the committee, I mean, we focus very much on the issue of constitutional conduct of police that acts in line with the constitution, and also the ideals of the NDP. So that's our approach, that's our measurement in terms of going and evaluating the budget. And without further ado, over to the secretary.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, maybe just before starting with the overview and the first program, to just say a few things. The first is that the proclamation for the Civilian Secretariat for Police becoming a designated department was signed in December by the President. So as of the 1st of April this year, and I think it's something which the previous portfolio committee had had anticipated, we have become a designated department, with the Secretary of Police being the accounting officer. You will see, if you look at the program structure as a result of that, that our program structure has changed in comparison to last year. That there are a cutting down of the number of programs from 5 to 4, where policy and legislation have been combined into one program. Also, the sub-programs have been reduced. The number of sub-programs have been reduced. That occurred through the E&E process with Treasury, with National Treasury, that they had requested that we look at the number of programs that we had, because of the size of our budget, and also look at the number of sub-programs that we had. You'd also see that some of the names of programs have also changed, that when we were going through the E&E process and a description of each project, there was, on the advice of National Treasury, we slightly, although their functions remain the same, so partnerships is no longer just called partnerships. It now is intersectorial and strategic partnerships. So some of the names have changed. If you compare our APPs this year to our APPs for last year, you will see those changes that have taken place. And as I say, those changes are a result of us becoming a designated department and having to do an in-depth E&E process for the first time this year. And the CFO will explain this when we come to the presentation. As we became a designated department on the 1st of April this year, it was agreed with National Treasury and the Executive Authority that the first year the Secretariat will act as what is called a transfer department, which means we still have our own bank account, we're still accountable for all the money that goes out of that bank account and how it's spent, but at the end of the day we don't have a separate budget vote this year. The money is ring-fenced within SAP and it is transferred over to us into our bank account and then paid out from our bank account. That, the reason for that was that the Accountant General in National Treasury is requesting all new departments to go through that process, because if you then want to make, in your first year, you find that there are changes to the budget, it doesn't necessarily require the same processes as if you were a separate budget vote. But for all accounting purposes, the money is listed in the E&E, so SAPs cannot change the amount of money. It's transferred on a rotational basis and paid out through our bank account, and the Secretary of Police is then accountable for that. So SAPs no longer have any say on how and when we spend that money. The other point in relation to that is you will see that there has been quite a significant increase in our budget as a result of that, as a result of those changes, our budget has increased. So that's just by way of introduction, but I think the CFO will talk a bit more to that, and the different programs will talk to that when they come to do their presentation. Just in terms of the overall vision of the Secretariat, that it's the view of, when the vision was developed, The idea was that civilian oversight would contribute towards a transformed and accountable peace service that reflects the values of our developmental state, and that the mission of the Secretariat would be to provide efficient and effective civilian oversight of the police and to enhance the role of the Minister of Police. In terms of the strategic goals, there are four strategic goals. Ensuring the Minister is well advised and supported by the Civilian Secretariat, and a service delivery orientated police service that is accountable. So the intention is that the Secretariat would contribute to improving the professionalism and transformation of the police. And quality and evidence-based strategic research, policy advice, and legislative support to the Minister of Peace, deepening public participation in the fight against crime, and enhancing accountability and transformation of the peace as the four key goals. As I mentioned earlier, the Secretariat became a designated department from the 1st of April this year. And as I also mentioned earlier, our program budget program and structure was reviewed. It didn't have any impact on the staffing, but it just has an impact on how we structure our budget and our different programs. Because as for new members, when the Act was first passed in 2011, we actually undertook an organizational review process with DPSA so that we would have the capacity to implement that. And that that structure was signed off in April 2012, and all we have done now for this year is to realign our budget program structure. So it doesn't actually it doesn't mean we have to go through a whole review of our staffing structure and our fixed establishment. Systems have been put in place to function as an independent department, payroll systems, time and attendance, financial management, risk management, and the CFO will talk to that process. We also have, as required by the PFMA, a signed memorandum of understanding with SAT that they have agreed to assist administratively for the first year with any administrative areas that we require, and that is a requirement of the PFMA that the department from which another department is breaking away must assist the other department during that transition phase, and we have a memorandum of understanding that has been signed between myself and the National Commissioner in that regard. One of the crucial factors of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Act that came into existence in 2012 was the alignment of provincial departments of safety and security in terms of their performance objectives with the Civilian Secretariat for Police. And I think what has happened over that period and what we are busy going to be developing for the next financial year is we have put in place, together with National Treasury and provincial treasuries, sector indicators against which the provinces will be measured by National Treasury and provincial treasury, which align to our strategic priorities. So we are increasingly able to hold provinces accountable for that alignment process. And one of the functions, as I said, for this year will be reviewing those sector indicators and making sure that those sector indicators are appropriate for the next NTF cycle. And also that there has been a process of reviewing the provincial department's safety budget programs to align those safety budget programs with our safety budget programs, and that has been done jointly between ourselves, National Treasury, provincial treasuries, and the Departments of Community Safety and Liaison. In terms of the general policies and legislation and priorities, the National Development Plan is obviously a major priority in terms of where we are going as a Civilian Secretariat for Police. And when we come to policy and research, Ms. Omar will speak to how we are looking at incorporating that National Development Plan more firmly within the White Paper on the Police. Also, Outcome 3, all people are and feel safe. And Outcome 12, an efficient, effective, and development-orientated public service and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship, and also in line with the criminal justice revamp process, which and the 7-point plan of the criminal justice revamp. In terms of the internal policies and legislation, and here we talk about internal within the ministry as opposed to necessarily just internal within the civilian secretary for police. The white paper on the police, which Ms. Omar will speak to, which is in the final stages at this point. The white paper on safety and security, which Ms. Omar will speak to as well. And the review of the South African Police Service Amendment Bill are crucial areas that we would be looking at in the coming financial year. In terms of the strategic outcomes of the secretariat, a civilian secretariat that provides the strategic outcomes are a secretariat that provides strategic direction and effective administrative management systems and supports the Minister of Police in fulfilling his constitutional mandate. A secretariat that effectively manages the provisions of HR management and HR development, and that would be within the secretariat. The provision of integration of communication services within the secretariat. Efficient and effective use of resources in a compliant manner. A partnership strategy that mobilizes role players and stakeholders in strengthening collaboration in crime prevention. Strengthen cooperation with government departments through the JCPS, DEVCOM, and various intergovernmental initiatives which we have set up. And Ms. Omar will talk to our intergovernmental gang-related strategy that we are developing, and throughout you'll see the relationship with the criminal justice system. Community mobilization and crime prevention activities, which falls under our strategic partnership. Strengthening collaboration between government and the private and academic sector. And something which is not necessarily in this presentation, but for new committee members to be aware of, we have got a number of what we call reference groups that exist within our different divisions and programs, which bring together NGOs and academics. So we have a policy and research reference group, which brings academics and NGOs working on policing areas together with ourselves to be able to soundboard issues around policy and research. We have the same around domestic violence and sexual offences. We have a reference group made up of women's organisations, etc., that we are able to soundboard our approaches to sexual offences and domestic violence. So we have a number of reference groups and structured forums where we bring together private and academic sector. Clearly developed policies around major policing issues. Effective research programs on policing. Effective policing legislation able to be implemented by SACS. And generally, when we look at legislation, we would be looking at developing a joint task team between ourselves and SACS, and sometimes even other government departments when we develop that legislation. Improved performance of SACS through the engagement with the Secretariat on budgeting and planning processes. A transformed professional police by monitoring and evaluating the conduct of SACS. And the oversight unit will talk to the targets that we've set with regard to that in the coming financial year. Improved implementation of policy and legislation by that through regular monitoring by the Secretariat. Credible evaluation of SAP's project plan. In terms of the overview of our staffing that was signed off by the Minister in 2012, We have a staff establishment, as you can see, in 2011, and just to give the committee some idea, in 2009 the Secretariat has a staff of 38 people. In 2009, the Secretariat had a staff of 2008 people. Through the organisational restructuring that has taken place, that number of staff has increased to 114. In 2011-12, we had 53 of those posts because the structure was only signed off in April 2012. Mm-hmm. In the following financial year, we had filled 83 of the 114 vacancies, and currently we have filled 111 of the 114 vacancies, one of which was a post that was filled and the person left to move on to another position. So we have, from the original organizational structure that was signed off, two vacancies and one post, which was recently that the person recently exited from the post and it is now going to be filled by, and it's now in the process of being filled. In terms of the budget, I'd like to ask the CFO to just take the committee through the budget.
Thank you very much, Secretary. Members, we will now go to questions. On this side, any questions? We will start from that side. Ms. Kalabana.
Thank you very much. Three things. On slide 24, I see you refer to the Private Security Industry Regulation Act. And yet, in my research, I could find no sign of promulgation. So is it still a bill? Have you jumped the gun, rather? Has it been signed off by the President? What is the status? On slide 28, you refer to various priority areas to improve police accountability, specifically implementation of Criminal Justice Act, POP, IFED recommendations. Now, what about the implementation of the Secondhand Goods Act? What's the status there? And what is the status of the Criminal Forensic Procedures Amendment Act, the fingerprint bill? Where is that? I feel as though we passed this decade ago, and I just have yet to find a police station that even knows what it is. So could you fill me in there? And the final one was about, I seem to recall that there was going to be monitoring by yourselves about the implementation of the committee recommendations at stations when we do, and I see you referred to that in 29, but I thought we would see a report or a something. I can't remember what the agreement was, whether you were going to give us a report perhaps once a year or something, or is it just going to come up in the annual report? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Even before we can have presentations from different programs as indicated, I would like you to at least tell me what impact does this civilian secretariat have on the ground, meaning the communities. I'm saying this because as I was going through this document, I could see a lot of increased budget. And it came back to me about the Batopeli principle, value for money. Can you just expatiate a bit on the impact that you do? I know we're at level, national level, but this money must just have an impact on the ground. Thank you.
Give the Secretary an opportunity and then we'll take another after you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question relates to one of the areas of oversight for the Secretariat, which is the implementation of the Firearms Control Act. I think most of us would have seen the recent stories about what's not happening is the destruction of the firearms once they're handed in, and therefore they leak into organized crime syndicates. Sometimes there's corruption on the parts of the of such officers in facilitating that. Just an update and a sense of how strong and effective is that oversight from the Secretary's role. Yeah.
I'll give the Secretary an opportunity and then we'll go with round two. Thanks.
Okay, can I maybe just start with the impact of the Secretary and then go on to, because it's a broader, it covers the entire spectrum of the Secretary. And I think that there are different levels at which the Secretary needs to be impacting. The one is bringing communities together in the fight against crime, more generally, which isn't necessarily specific to policing. And through structures like the community safety forums, and when the strategic partnerships present, one of the crucial areas has been the development of an overarching policy on community safety forums, where over the last period we've managed to set up community safety forums in 170 different communities, out of the 278 municipalities. Now, the problem with that is one of the things we want to do this year, and you'll see it in our APP, is to develop a special project which looks at what is the impact of those community safety forums on safety at a local level. Because having those forums in place is one thing. Having those forums impact on safety and security is another. So, for example, is where we have problems around service delivery, is it because the community safety forum doesn't exist in that area? Is it because the community safety forum exists, but it actually isn't having an impact on safety and security issues at a local level? That's one of the projects we want to look at so that we can begin to measure that impact. When it comes to other areas of impact, I think that the Secretariat's role, apart from the strategic partnerships with communities and different stakeholders, is to make sure that the police operate in a more transformed and professional manner. And in that way, the communities will be impacted on because they will receive a better service from the police. And so one of the things that we need to be measuring is what impact is the Secretariat having on the manner in which policing happens. And I think that what we have started to do over the last year and a half is to start looking at not just the work we're doing, but what impact is that work having. So if we are developing legislation around the DNA, the fingerprints, the Second Hand Goods Act, to actually monitor how that is being implemented and what impact that legislation is beginning to have. Also to monitor, one of the things we have started to do, for example, is to look at in the complaints area, and it will come up in the oversight when the unit presents on oversight, is to not just to look at the number of complaints and the type of complaints that communities are bringing forward to the police, but is to look at what systems and processes does SACT have in place in terms of dealing with those complaints. And what we are developing as a result of that is a mechanism and a system together with SACT and together with a range of different departments, which would assist communities with how to lodge a complaint, but would also make sure that SACT has proper mechanisms in place to begin to deal with those complaints. And we believe that would impact on community police relations, in that people would feel that complaints that they're lodging are beginning to be taken seriously. But I think one of the things we still need to do a lot more of is to start developing quite scientific tools where we do exactly what you say, where we're measuring what is the actual on-the-ground impact that these initiatives that we are embarking on are having. And it's one of the things that we're looking at a program at the moment in the next year, a special project in the next year that looks at, so we established these community safety forums in 170 municipalities. What impact are they having on community safety at a ground level, and what do we need to do to make sure that they have greater impact? And if that covers. And then with regard to the question by on the legislation, with regard to the private security, our understanding is that once it's passed through Parliament, it is an act. It has not been put into operation yet because it has not been signed by the President. But when Parliament passes it, it becomes an act. Whether it's in operation or not, the President is... It's no longer a bill once Parliament has passed it through the National Assembly. The processes are, it passed through the National Assembly, it becomes an act. Then it goes to the President for the President's sign-off to enact it. And then it needs to go through the President to be put into operation. And at this point it's an act, but it hasn't been signed off by the President, neither has it been put into operation. With regard to the Second Hand Goods Act, we've just done a review last year, and the oversight unit can speak to that review of the implementation of the Secondhand Goods Act, and we certainly will be reporting on it in our annual report. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we took a pilot of 73 stations, and we looked at how was the Second Language Act being being implemented at those 73 stations. And I think it was between 40 and 50% of the stations were fully implementing the Second Language Act. But we would avail that report to the committee, the Second Language Act report to the committee, which outlines exactly how that was being implemented. Maybe when you get to your section, so you could also talk about that. The fingerprint is one of the projects we are looking at for this year. We're looking at last year we looked at how we were implementing the Second Language Act as the police, and we've come up with a whole lot of recommendations on what still needs to be done with regard to how we can improve the Second Language implementation. This year, one of the pieces of legislation we want to evaluate how FACTS is implementing is actually the fingerprints, the implementation of the Fingerprints Act, and look at how that is being implemented. But we are also monitoring very closely the procedures that need to be put in place for the implementation of the DNA legislation, because that has been signed, but we are in the process of putting that legislation into operation. As we speak, we busy appointing the committee. And then in terms of the committee recommendations, I think that we would be reporting on that in the annual report, but if there was a need, we could provide a separate report on that. And with regard to the Firearms Control Act, during policy and research, they will discuss what we are looking at doing in terms of the Firearms Control Act. Just to say that it isn't just about the destruction of firearms. In fact, South Africa has one of the strongest records internationally when it comes to the destruction of firearms. There are certain UN protocols about destroying illicit firearms, and South Africa is ranked amongst the top countries in terms of the number of firearms that we annually destroy. But I think that doesn't mean there aren't problems with firearms. The fact that we destroy these firearms, we destroy large portions of firearms on an annual basis, doesn't mean there aren't problems with firearms. And when Ms. Omar comes to report on policy and research, she'll talk about a special project that we're looking at. The background to that project is that immediately after the implementation of the Firearms Control Act, we saw a dramatic decrease in the number of homicides caused with firearms. What we're starting to see is an increase again in homicides linked to firearms. And we are going to be embarking on, over the last 4 years, we've done quite a lot of work on firearms. We did a review of the Central Firearms Registry. We had a firearms amnesty trying to encourage people to hand in firearms that were not properly licensed, etc. Now going forward, in this current financial year, we want to do quite a comprehensive look at why are the number of firearm crimes on the increase again, and what are the actual factors, so we can come up with very scientific approach to how we address that. But I think Ms. Omar will speak to that during her presentation.
Right, Ms. Mulabatsi, then the honourable member there, and then myself.
Thank you, Jefferson. My first question is on, in the past, we learned of the slow implementation of each of the system. What is the situation now? And also in the past, when we visited the police station, we found out that the DVA was not correctly, or in some instances, not at all implemented. You find in the vehicles, there were no registers. I mean, the act, there were no acts in the vehicles. Finding in the CSC, there were no acts. And if they were there, the officers who were in the CSC had no clue of what was happening in the act itself. Has the situation changed? My third question is on, the civilian secretariat has missed the deadline of SAPS Act. Can we have a specific date for when this will happen? Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. It's looks like there are quite a number of good things which are happening. And your division for civilian secretariat for police. Do civilians actually know your existence? And how do you do it to be known by the civilians? Because I myself, I didn't know about you. I think that is all. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by your research projects and the titles thereof. Do you, number one, have proposed presentation dates of when you're hoping they'll be completed by? And in your various projects, for example, your trends report on policing, will you look at an international perspective, et cetera, et cetera? That's going to be really substantial. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the President in his state of the nation address mentioned the use of the internships. How many internships do you have?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think from my side, the same questions we asked to SCAPS and to IPAD. In terms of the architecture police oversight. Now, in the police, we've got the inspectorate that's playing a role. We've got IPAT and I've got X amount and secretary at 100 million plus. But the question I have is in terms of, and I miss it in terms of strategic focus, in terms of, implementation of the Secretariat Act itself. Because what we picked up in terms of the briefing that we received, for instance, they say certain areas of the Secretariat Act that's currently not in operation or haven't been complied with. For example, the question that the Secretariat should table every quarter a report on its activities in terms of Section 30. Now, my question is, what is the reason for that? When is those reports going to be tabled with the committee? Because it undermines the issue of oversight. If the Secretariat must look at SAPs, it's important that the Secretariat complies with their own legislation. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very difficult from a research perspective to do that. Then the important issue, and maybe to get comments on that, the very important focus for this committee this term will also be the issue of the rights of children and women. Now, we are concerned that the BBA reports haven't been tabled at Parliament to this committee, so this committee can't interact on that. So we need to get a status report on that. What is the reason? When is going to be? What is the reason for the delay? And when can we expect it? Because you know we need to look at it quite importantly. Then in our interaction last week with IPAD, the Executive Director, Mr. McBride, indicated in terms of his presentation that there was no meeting yet of the consultative forum. Now, it's also a huge area of concern for us. The legislation is nearly 2-3 years old, and that forum must really ensure synergy between the Secretariat and IPAD to ensure that we have effective oversight of the police. Maybe to get a clarification, why not movement on that, and what steps are going to be taken? And maybe also, let's get first your response. Thanks.
On the e-docket, I think that the Honourable Member is right. This e-docket has been in existence since I started. SAPS was talking about the e-docket system. I think what our processes have brought to light, and I think at the end of last year, there was quite a ruckus over the e-docket system as a result, was that the e-docket system was not actually developed. It was developed by the technology side without necessarily the full engagement of the detective side. As a result, it was a project which never really took traction, and it became completely unclear. At some point, it became nothing more than a scanning of dockets into the system. And these great ideas that were developed around the e-docket system weren't really even being understood by the detectives who needed to manage that process. So as a result of that, there has been a question of, which might frustrate some of the older members on the committee, of going back to the drawing board and saying, let us come to terms with what we actually are looking for in terms of the e-docket system. Because everybody you spoke to had a different idea, and certainly the detectives, when we were evaluating e-docket, didn't seem to, they weren't on the same page as CMS on the e-docket system. So the recommendation from ourselves was, as frustrating as it was, that SAS need to go back and say, what is it that we want to correct from this e-docket? Yes, it's stolen dockets, but it's also supposed to be part of the JCPS cluster, and it's supposed to enable the entire cluster to manage the docket system and the process of getting around dockets. So I think that is something which has been put, it's basically, they are reviewing how SAS has implemented the e-docket system at this point, as of last year. In terms of the DDA, I think that when the monitoring and evaluation unit report, the oversight unit report, they will also be talking about the DDA. And just to link on with the chairperson's comment, the two DDA reports are, we sent them yesterday through to the minister. We hadn't tabled them last year because, earlier this year because of Parliament closing early. But the two reports were sent through yesterday for the minister to sign off to be tabled in Parliament. And you will see in those reports that we have established a compliance forum with that. So we've tried to set up this forum where what the issues that are coming out of the DDA report are actually taken quite seriously by SAS. And we're finding, and I think, so you can refer to it when we're dealing with the oversight section, that SAS is actually, it's one of the areas where SAS is starting to become more and more compliant with issues because of this joint compliance forum. But also we have picked up issues that you'll see in the research project that we're doing and some of the policy projects that we're doing. We're also looking at projects that are arising out of issues that have come out of that DDA process. So we had a dialogue last year on the implementation of the DDA. As a result of that dialogue, we are now piloting in three areas in the country a joint initiative with women's groups and SAS and ourselves, a protocol that we're putting in place, which is going to look at not just the legislation itself and compliance with the legislation, but what else can we do jointly to begin to reduce crimes against women and children in that area. And linked to that, we're also looking at what are the barriers. I mean, a year and a half ago, there was quite a damaging report that went public from some of the women's organizations, 28 women's organizations, looking at what problems people face when they're reporting sexual crimes to the police, and what are some of the things that would prevent women from reporting those crimes. So we are also looking at working on a project in the coming year, looking at what are the barriers to people reporting these crimes, and what do we need to do to overcome those barriers. And I think Ms. Omar, when she presents on policy research, will be able to talk to that more broadly. In terms of people knowing about the Secretariat's existence, I think that there is a we have developed a communication strategy over the last 2 years around the Secretariat, and are starting to implement it. I think our first priority in the first year was to get SAS to understand who we were, SAS and other government departments to begin to understand who we were. So the first phase of the implementation of that strategy focused on SAS and other government departments. We are now starting to roll that out to looking at communities. and how we project ourselves within the broader South African context. And we have to be quite careful that we don't become just a general complaints body for the community, because if you look at the Act, our role is to make sure that SAS have systems in place to monitor complaints, rather than that we take on the complaints. And at the moment, we are taking on the complaints, and we're getting an increasing number of complaints. And we said to SAS, we will only hand those complaints over to you once we are sure you have the systems in place. Because at the end of the day, if we don't handle those complaints properly, it affects how the community sees government as a whole, not just SAS. And we are seeing that people are beginning to know about the sex chair very slowly, because we've seen an increase from 200 to about 700 complaints the year before last, and up to about 1,500. Hits on the Secretariat website have increased by 90%. But there is still a lot of work we need to do in rolling this out to communities. We have public participation meetings that we organize together with the Minister, and we're wanting to make use of those events also to explain to people. One of the things we also want to look at doing, and we are exploring this with CSIR, is a system where people that are going to a police station will also, and it will increase the awareness about the Secretariat, but it will also, in terms of what the Honourable Member was saying about our impact, we're hoping it would improve our impact in terms of the community. We're looking at developing a system, and it's been used in other countries around the world, where when a person leaves a police station, they can actually report bad service. It's not a complaint mechanism, but it's to say, what was the level of service you received at that police station? So we could, and it would be done through an SMS system, and that's one of the things we're looking at, is putting in place a system through SMSs. When you go into the bank, you can say what service you got, what you thought of your service. We're looking at a similar system, but through SMSs, where members who go and report a crime to a community are able to actually let us know what their experience was at that police station, and we can begin to collate that. That's something that we're looking at doing, and we're engaging with CSIR on that. In terms of trends report, the presentation dates, I think that Ms. Omar will talk to that when she's doing the presentation on policy and research, the presentation dates. And the trend reports, I think, Flo will speak to that when she's presenting on oversight. But just to say that one of the things that we have discussed in the Secretariat is the need in all our oversight reports, whether they be trend reports, whether they be a report on the number of how many people we actually deploy at a local police station and whether that number is sufficient, we want to start benchmarking our stuff internationally. All our oversight reports internationally, because it's going to be what distinguishes our reports from the kind of reports that the Auditor General or SOPA or whatever. We need to be considerably different, and part of that is to look at what is international best practice, both in developed and developing states, so not just in, because you can't compare apples with oranges. You've got to have, so we would be looking at bringing in much more of an international component into our oversight report, but looking at both developed and developing countries. And I think that Florence will talk to that when she is talking to the oversight function. In terms of internships, we have a total of 13 interns. We are allowed to have so many. It's based on the percentage of staff that you have, the number of interns that you're allowed to. And we would like to have more, but that's the percentage we're allowed in terms of the DPSA. So we have 13 interns. I think one of those interns is being considered in terms of staying on, but most of them have actually found other employment, and we're now in the process of recruiting a new batch of interns, but in total we have 13, and that's the ceiling that we're allowed. So we went for the maximum ceiling. In terms of the oversight reports, I think I've spoken about the DDA reports, that they are ready for the committee. We also will, within the next month, have the first of those quarterly reports being tabled before the committee, so that we're able to comply with those tabling reports. And with the consultative forum, it's not actually correct that the consultative forum hasn't met since that came into existence. You would be aware that the first consultative forum has to be called by the Secretary of Police, and then the next one facilitated by the Executive Director. The first forum was coordinated by ourselves on the 12th of October 2012. So the Secretary, and we have minutes, and we can provide the committee with minutes of that consultative forum. So we facilitated the first consultative forum in October 2012. And last year, we can also provide the committee with the emails we had requested IPED to facilitate the second consultative forum, which basically didn't take place, and we can provide the committee with those emails to that effect. What then happened is earlier this year, because IPED was busy restructuring and with the strategic planning session, we actually did end up calling a kind of second consultative forum, although it was not, the next forum was supposed to be called by IPED. We can provide you with the minutes of that meeting and the attendance register for that meeting. And then there was a consultative forum that was called for, a second consultative forum which IPED called for May but had to be cancelled because of FUSAD, and we have asked IPED for the next date. So we are trying to make sure that we comply with that. What we have also done, in addition to those consultative forums, is we have set up a forum that exists between, which meets bi-monthly, and again we can provide you with the minutes and the attendance registers of those meetings, and it operates between ourselves, SAT, and IPED, where we actually look at the recommendations. It's chaired by the Secretary, and where we look at IPED's recommendations and how far SAT was going. As a result of those forums last year, we started to set up the forums at a provincial level, because what we're finding is it's all well and good for us to have these forums at a national level, but they don't necessarily filter down to the provincial level. So we have now set up in, I think, 7 of the 9 provinces, we have now set up these forums that exist, and they include at provincial level, at national level they include ourselves, SAPS and IPED. At a provincial level they include the Department of Safety, Community Safety and Liaison, IPED and SAPS. And we are now setting up in the other two provinces. So it's not actually correct that the consultative forums haven't met. I think that maybe with the new executive director, the staff hadn't informed them, but we will provide the committee with all the minutes and the correspondence in that regard. And as I said, we will be tabling before this committee the first quarterly report of the Secretariat before the end of August. And then with regard to the question of the rights of women and children, I think we've spoken about the DVA, but also if you see in our APPs, there's quite a lot of emphasis on quite a lot of projects that we're going to be embarking on, looking precisely at this issue when it comes to crimes against women and children. So the barriers for reporting, the special project, looking at the implementation of those protocols. We also are going to be embarking on a project that looks at how can we utilize CPS better in making sure that issues around women and children and domestic violence and other issues around women and children are effectively managed at the police station. And one of the recommendations is that each CPS should have a dedicated person who specifically looks at women's issues within the local precinct of the police station.
We'll take follow-ups, just a follow-up from myself, and then we'll take it from there. Yes, I think what is going to be vitally important that the Secretariat must provide this committee in the next 2 weeks with two documents at least. One is the responses to the recommendations of the previous committee, but very importantly, a status document on the implementation of the Act. Because I'm very concerned, I mean, I can't blame the previous members, but
In terms of the Act, the Secretariat was supposed to table every quarter implementation report or report on the activities. It hasn't happened, so we need those reports updated and tabled to that so we can discuss it. Otherwise, we will be failing as a parliamentary committee in our oversight. And I think it's important that the Secretariat, as I've indicated, doing an important role in oversight over SAPS, that they must ensure that the Act is indeed implemented. And then also the question of the question of the regulations. Now, the regulations should have been, well, implemented 3 months after the Act came into being, about 2 or 3 years ago. So I think we need also a status report on that. Where are we? Because it raises the question of procedures and policies followed by the Secretariat, and that the police can also understand their role. So the interest of the portfolio committee is, you know, we want to see that this Act is fully implemented, and if there's problems, please alert us. But I think those 2 reports is vital, that we know what is the situation really. But then I'm just concerned about the question of the consultative forum, but we'll ask IFAT if the Secretary can just provide us with those minutes that we can just monitor that. Thanks for that, Ms. Wolobatsi, Ms. Kolobana, and
Derek. Thank you, my question was not answered. About the time frame of the sub, the tabling of the sub act. Thank you.
Ms. Kolobana.
Could you give us some input on the status of the criminal justice review? That we were given these grandiose plans where victims would be able to monitor the arrests, the trial, the outcome, the incarceration and correctional services, even the release date of the attacker. And yet, we've seen on the SAPS budget, you know, they just take that $300 million and it's rolled over and over and over and over like a spinning wheel. I mean, eventually Treasury is just going to take it away because it's not utilized for so long. So do we have a status report on that? And do you have some idea, I mean, this e-docket system, and it's quite a joke now, how many 14 years, Baba Lovu came within his time, and he's now retired. So how much money has been utilized on a system that you say has now gone back to the drawing board? I mean, it's been thrown down the drain, basically, because it's gone nowhere, achieved nothing, and it's really, we could have built 3 stations with the amount of money they've wasted on it. So just put us in there if you can. Thank you.
And then just pull it, and then again the secretary, or there's any other round. Thanks very much, Chair. My question stems from a question, a very good question that the secretary asked around how can we use CPS better, particularly in terms of the Domestic Violence Act, but I think just across the board. And this might be jumping the gun in terms of Program 2, but I did want to just get a status update on the plans and the progress with resourcing and funding CPS from the Secretariat side, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair President. My question is on that. When you visit the police station, you find that the district is frustrating the police station. They get vehicles that are not suitable for the terrain. For instance, in a rural area, they can get sedans instead of 4x4s. And the way it's also allocated, it's very frustrating for them, because somebody sits somewhere and does it. It doesn't even know what are the requirements in that police station. He has never visited the police station, but he sits somewhere and allocates. What is the situation? Thank you.
Thank you to Honourable Andrea. It was one I had written down, but the last one I would want is, please can you give us an update on the reservist situation? And that's been a moratorium for 2 years, whatever. People have actually got to the stage, and I mean, they're now hearing about the new regulations and saying, well, if you're going to just strip me down, say I'm nothing, and have to travel with a constable who's been around for a day after my donating a decade of my life to you, well, I'm just going to resign. So I think maybe that's been the aim of the new regulations, I don't know. Many people think it is. But could you give us a status update? Is any station allowed to take on any reservists today? Because it seems they're still turning them away.
Right.
Sorry, Honourable Member, I was actually going to the FATFAC. I was going to say that when Ms. Bell presents, she's going to present the timelines around the implementation of the FATFAC. I just didn't want to preempt her presentation, so she is going to. On the criminal justice revamp system and how much has been spent, bearing in mind that this isn't just a SAP project, this is an intergovernment, it's the whole criminal justice cluster. And maybe I wouldn't be able to answer that question except to say that the criminal justice at the DG's level has requested that there be a full evaluation by the Auditor General's office on the implementation of that criminal justice. We're waiting for that report. It was requested late last year. So they will be looking at how much was spent and exactly what we got from that and what are the blockages and gaps in the full implementation of it, and that was something which was commissioned by the DGs. I think that all departments are experiencing some degree of problems with regard to CETA as well in this process. But I think that it would be better to wait for that Auditor General's report, because they have presented they presented the terms of reference late last year, and they will be presenting to the DGs and hopefully then from the DGs to the executive exactly what has been spent, what has been achieved across the different departments. And I think that the part of that is also the e-docket will be a part and parcel of that, because it was actually the e-docket which was supposed to be a system that ran across departments. It was supposed to run from the police right down to the release period. And I think what has happened to some extent is that these processes have been a bit compartmentalized, and everybody, each different department has been doing different things, and that's part of why. But I just also want to say that I don't think that I don't want people to create the impression that everything's been thrown out. But there is a review of scaling down what we want to be doing with the e-docket and what we want to achieve. It doesn't necessarily mean that all the work that's been done will necessarily be thrown out. I wouldn't be able to necessarily give you the cost, because this e-docket system existed even before my time. And you'd need to ask that. I mean, that's kind of a question. And then saying the costing on it has existed. And I think that's a question you would need to perhaps ask that. It's not a question we would necessarily be able to deal with. On the reservist system. It needs to be clear that the moratorium was lifted some time ago. The moratorium was lifted after the policy came into existence. And there's been a lot of lack of clarity on that moratorium, because the moratorium was placed by the Minister of Peace and was therefore lifted by the Minister of Peace. I think that the problem was that when we developed that policy, SAP then had to align their regulations and national instructions. My understanding is that process is completed. So reservists shouldn't be being turned away at police stations. And if they are, we would want to look at why that is happening. And with regard to RAG, one of the special projects that I've requested that the MNE unit look at in this year, and it goes beyond RAG. It looks at because it's fine to say, I mean, if you look at what happened, for example, at Klipkut Police Station, Klipkut in the Western Cape here, where that person was shot, it's fine to say that on the RAG system we have 38 people. But who are those 38 people on the RAG system? How are they deployed, and how many of them are actually operational people deployed in an operational sense, and how many are also administrative people? And one of the areas we want to look at doing work into in the next year is to look at resource deployment at a local police station and unpack it even further to say, if you have if we're saying we're having 157,000 police officers in the country, that's not including the public service commission people, how many of those are operational people and how many are administrative people? And then how many are deployed at a local police station and how many are part of special units? And then of those deployed at a local police station, if you're looking at day and night shifts, how many are deployed? To take what has been the work that's been done about around RAG, but to unpack it and look at what it means for local communities, and then to begin to benchmark that against international. So if we're saying that this percentage of our staff, of our police act people, are used administratively, what is the normal percentage internationally that gets used for administrative purposes? And it's one of the pieces of work that we want to start looking at in the next year, is to start not just comparing and looking at RAG, but looking at what it means in practice when it comes to the community having access to police on the ground. Because as I say, it's all very well to say you have 38 people on the RAG at this local police station, but how many of those are on duty on a weekend, for example? And we have already done a report last year, an evaluation last year, which we'd be happy to provide to the committee on the evaluation of SAPS garaging and vehicles and the whole vehicle system in SAPS, and we'd be happy to provide the committee with that report as well.
Right, thank you very much. We will take a 10-minute tea break and then we'll again come back. Thanks a lot.